From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
And we're back for another episode of the podcast as we get closer and closer to the big election coming up here in 2024. We love having you with us. We love sharing our common sense solutions for the things that are facing us in our world. And we love the fact that you're part of Dale Carter's America. Kurt, it's interesting. You know, last week we had the back and forth that I had with that troll. The keyboard warrior who just went, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I got more feedback on that than anything we've done lately. It's like, you should have told that guy just to shove it up his ass.
That's funny. Well, actually, that you mentioned that, my wife doesn't watch every episode, but she watched last week. And she was pretty pissed off by that, too. So,
well, this is why we love having you as subscribers to Dale Carter's America. And Kurt's now going to tell you all the ways that you can help us spread the word, not only by you being a subscriber to what we do, but getting out there and spreading the word.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell your friends to subscribe as well. And if you're watching this on video, you can check it out on YouTube or Rumble. And then the audio only version is available on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And then make sure you're commenting and sharing and liking our posts on Facebook. That seems to be where we are reaching the most people. Yep. So we would love it, you know, if everyone who's engaging with our posts on Facebook would then go ahead and watch and subscribe on YouTube. So that's where we need to get a little bit more conversion, you know, on that side. So if you are commenting and sharing on Facebook, you know, make sure that you're also checking out the podcast, and we appreciate it.
Yeah. And when you get the video version, you can see our faces.
Yeah.
And, you know, today I'm in uniform. Tammy Ash at Ash Creations, she made this shirt and she'll make one for you. We have that pinned at the top, I think, of our Facebook page.
It may still be. I'll have to double check.
Yeah. So you can get one. I mean, they're relatively inexpensive, and you can help spread the word that way by wearing the logo of Dale Carter's America.
Yep. And if you're watching the video, you can see that I have a mustache this week.
Is that new?
Yeah.
What are you going for there? Is it like a porn stash thing you got going?
That's, you said that, not me. That is not what I'm going for. It's float trip week, so I figured I'd go with the mustache.
Bob Watson has a mustache.
He does.
Yes, he
does. And he's a very gentlemanly and trustworthy fellow. So, you know, what does that say?
Handsome guy.
Yeah.
He's been taking care of folks through State Farm Insurance for five decades. In fact, he's about to celebrate his 50th anniversary as a State Farm agent. Go see Bob at it. There you go. Blow up in the picture there. Got the salt and pepper thing going there, too. Yeah.
Great mustache.
Yeah. Bob's going to be at his offices at 7th and Main on May 1st for a special day. He wants you to come by, even if you're not one of his clients. Maybe he could talk you into letting State Farm bundle your home and car insurance to save you even more money. 7th and Main in Blue Springs. You can reach Bob and his team at 816-229-7878. Auto, home, life, commercial insurance. If you can insure it, Bob will get it insured for you through State Farm. Licensed in both Missouri and Kansas, my State Farm agent, a guy that I will share with you.
Tremendous people.
You know, there's a term called criminal justice, right? It's been around for a long time, criminal justice. And one of the, and we're going to get to a lot of my solutions for how we move forward. May not be your solution, but my solution for how we move forward. At least maybe that might get some discussion started. But one of the things we're going to start with today is criminal justice. That used to mean something different than it means today. It used to mean justice for the victims.
Right.
And now it means, you know, more kind treatment for the criminals. Now, as we record this on Monday, you won't get it until Wednesday, and the eclipse will have already passed by Wednesday, at least I hope, right? It's only supposed to be like a small deal there. And there are prisoners in New York, you know, I guess because they don't let the prisoners out at night, right? Because it gets all crazy and stuff. So during the eclipse, they're going to make sure that everybody's on lockdown just to make sure that nothing crazy happens. Well, some inmates in New York said that violates their constitutional rights, their religious view, if you will. So they sued. And in this upside-down world that we live in, guess which way the court ruled?
Well, there you have it if you're watching on video.
They ruled for the inmates. So the inmates who sued and won are going to be out to see the eclipse.
Now, when they say out, I mean, what does that mean? I'm curious about that. Like, they just get to, they're still in the prison. They just get to go outside into the yard or whatever.
I think that's right. Yeah. And I asked somebody about this, you know, what's the big deal? Because it's the middle of the day. And somebody told me because weird stuff can happen when it gets dark, just as a precaution, they're going to lock down all the inmates.
Mm.
And so the inmates, you know, because they're running the place, they went to court, said this is part of their religious rights. I'm not quite sure what religion it is that, you know, the doctrine is you have to go out and observe the eclipse.
Right.
Do you know?
No, I don't. And it is sort of, I mean, it could be, you know, some weird paganism or some shit like that. But I don't know. I mean, I don't really see that big of a problem with it if they are still within the confines of the prison. Obviously, if they're going to like some public park somewhere, you know, where kids are around and stuff like that, that would be a much bigger issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
I just got a problem with, you know, inmates going, I want this and I'm going to go sue for it. Fuck you. You're in prison.
Right, right.
No, let's get them cable TV. Let's, you know, give them right. every creature comfort there is.
Yeah, I need a pool table and a, you know.
Why stop there? Put yeah. a pool in.
Yeah, yeah.
Hot tub. Whatever it takes, man. You know, just you got to take care of these criminals.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I do see kind of both sides of this. It is a significant event, however much it means to you or not. I mean, people travel across the country to see it. It's something that will happen, you know, a handful of times in your lifetime, if that, depending on where you live in the world. But
yeah.
I don't know. There are bigger fish to fry, but I do see how it could be, you know, it could be a problem.
I put it at the top of the podcast because it's happening, you know, pretty soon after we record this deal, and won't be back in the Northern 48 until August 23rd of 2044.
If I'm blind next time we do this, it's because I forgot to put on the sunglasses.
Kurt will be here in 2044. I'm not quite sure I will be, but you never know with modern medicine going the way that it is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we got a lot to get to on the podcast today. We thank Royal Roofing and Solar for being on board. You can reach them at 816-540-7057. If getting a new roof for spring is on your to-do list, make sure you're dealing with people who aren't 1099 employees. Make sure you've got a company that's got actual employees. Trust me, Bob Watson will tell you that. Unless you got a really big umbrella policy, you better make sure that they're employees of the company who are doing the work. That's something Austin Watterson wants you to know that Royal Roofing and Solar is 100% on. And if you want to put solar on that house, if that's your choice, not a federal mandate, but if it's your choice and you think that might help you with your utility bill, Mike Dale will show you how to get that done. And he'll show you examples of folks who are getting credits now with Evergy instead of a big bill. Air conditioning season's coming up here, and the sun is going to shine brightly today on Eclipse Day. So get with solarbyroyal.com, and if it's just a roof you need, royalcontractingkc.com. Let them put the roof on your house like they put the roof on my house.
This is kind of a cool feature on the website, too, that I'm just noticing for the first time, but they have a map of all the different jobs that they've done on Google Maps, and you can see the...
Is mine on there?
The review. Well, I don't want to dox your house.
Oh, yeah, let's don't do that. Yeah, my wife will appreciate that. Jennifer,
I'm thinking ahead.
Moving right on. See, I don't even think about stuff like that, right? And I guess...
Yeah, let's put your house up on the podcast and, you know, your address.
We put pictures of it up, but we didn't exactly put the address out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just paid a humongous bill to KU Med. Humongous. My portion of the 4 days. Did I tell you this? Did we talk about this last week?
We did briefly, yeah.
Because I paid the bill. It was like passing a kidney stone. Almost $7,000 to be in the hospital for 4 days and three nights. Mm. And, you know, what did they do? I mean, they put up an IV with some, you know, antibiotics in it. They came in and stuck a thing up my yin-yang so that I could pee, mm-hmm. I hope I never have to do that again.
Right.
You've never had that done, right?
I don't think so.
You know,
if I have, it was probably when I was a kid or something, because not in recent memory.
You don't want to have that done. So I'm sitting here at 60 years old, and that was my bill with insurance that we have through the company. And I'm thinking, man, if I'd only waited a few years until I turned 65, it might have been better. Because Kirk Doris and Lori Hocker would explain to me what Medicare plan I need to use. 10,000 people a day turn 65 in this country, and they get on Medicare. And they think, man, we're on gravy train right now. Government's going to pay for everything. Well, that's not exactly true. Medicare is not a one-size-fits-all proposition. There are gaps in it. It's a maze, and you need people on your side like Kirk Doris and Lori Hocker. Let them explain to you and let you know what your options are. It's important. If you're about to turn 65 or someone you know and love is about to turn 65, you need to get a hold of Kirk and Lori at Medicare Simplified KC. They're on the web at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. You can reach them on the phone at 816-701-6661, and they're in Independence, 3600 South Nolan Road, Suite F. You can make an appointment to go see them, or they will come see you. Okay, 208 days until Decision 2024.
But who's counting?
I am. I've got the countdown going on my phone here. And that's as of Wednesday. I always plus it up because I know that the podcast hits on Wednesday. I put this slide up on Facebook. I just did this about an hour ago. So it's fresh pickings here from our Facebook page. And it's about Joe Biden and his accomplishments, if you will, in the first term here as president. And I ask the question, if you look at all of these things, and they're measurable, right? These are measurable things. Historic inflation, botched Afghanistan withdrawal, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve at its lowest level, supply chain shortages, gas prices at a record. By the way, I noticed this because I look at it every day on my way into work. In Blue Springs, the convenience store that I look at before I get onto I-70 was up 40 cents a gallon today. 40. Now, what's happening here, maybe you've noticed this, they'll ratchet it way up, and then it comes down. 2 cents, 1 cent, blah, 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 blah. And then it goes way up again. So today is one of those way up days, up 40 cents a gallon. Energy. What's the red line on that?
Energy dependence on
others. Yeah. I mean, energy independence went out the window with Donald Trump. Record credit card debt for Americans, over $1 trillion and growing. Mm-hmm. All right. The highest vacation rate of any modern U.S. president. Now, I don't come down too hard on him on that because president is president. You carry that with you wherever you go. The nuclear football is right there. So I'm not going to ding him too hard on that.
And who doesn't love to golf? I mean, let's be honest.
He's not a big golfer.
No, I did see him. I did see a video. I have a lot of golf stuff on Instagram. And there was a video of him taking a golf shot, and it was not good. Yeah. Like, he was trying to hit a wedge onto a green or something like that, or like hit a rock and flew back the other direction.
That's about how I'd play golf.
And he's challenged Donald Trump to a round of golf, too. And Trump is, you know, he's not a professional or anything, but relatively speaking, he's not too bad at golf. So I would love to see that. He'd get creamed.
I saw him on that deal with the two other presidents, and then, you know, Colbert set him up on the joke, and he's like, oh, I told him, you know, up his handicap if he'd carry his own bag. I mean, whatever. Lowest
golf humor, gotta love it.
Lowest K through 12 test scores in decades. 7 million and counting illegal border crossings.
That's a big one.
Yeah. And the weaponization of the Department of Justice. Those are the things on the resume for Joe Biden. I mean, if you were under review, if your contract was up, as his will be this November, would you fire this guy or would you give him another 4?
Right.
I mean, you know, maybe they just haven't, you know, gotten their legs under him. And then there's a whole lot more that they can do. And what they will tell you on the other side is they just put up a huge jobs number. But when you dig into the jobs number, Kurt, how many of those are part-time jobs?
Yeah. And those are the numbers that they always flub. I mean, the unemployment number, the jobs number, even inflation, you know, with the Fed and everything like that, all those numbers are very highly manipulated to make it look promising, you know, for the incumbent or for whoever gets to create those numbers. So, yeah, you're right. Part-time employment And then also the other thing with part-time employment is that people have more than one part-time job.
Exactly.
And then those are counted, you know, as two or three jobs, even though it's one person.
How many do you have?
Too many to count.
I mean, I've had as many as four. Yeah. Right now, if you count the podcast, I'm at three.
I mean, if you count everything that I got a 1099 from last year, I have like eight jobs. So,
and you're one person, right? Yeah. So a lot of people, because of this economy, the Joe Biden economy, the record inflation, and, you know, they talk about inflation in terms of, well, you know, it's slowing down, it's slowing down. But if you track it back to when President Biden took office, prices in general are up nearly 20%. It's 19 and change. And you know that every time you go to the grocery store. You know that every time you fill up your car. You know that when you pay your utility bills. This is the Joe Biden economy. And again, it's up for review, and we'll see where it goes. Joe Biden now calling for a 25% wealth tax on wealth over $100 million. Now, what does that do? That's play number two in the old Democratic playbook. Somebody has something that you don't have, and that's not fair. And there are some people out there who have amassed quite a bit of wealth. And something that we've never done in this country, Joe Biden is asking us to consider it, is to tax non-realized gains.
Right.
So at the end of every year, you total up what you have that you haven't done anything with. Maybe you've got a stock portfolio. Maybe you've got property. Just like, you know, in Jackson County, we pay the hideous property tax that hopefully they're going to do away with here at some point. And he wants to tax at 25% what $100 million folks and higher have just sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah, I'll read this little paragraph from the article. I believe this is from Fox Business. As part of the proposal, Biden called for a 25% minimum tax rate on households worth more than $100 million, raising the capital gains tax rate, quadrupling the corporate stock buyback tax to 4%, raising the corporate tax rate to 28%, increasing the Medicare tax paid by wealthy Americans, implementing a global minimum tax on multinational corporations, and closing the carried interest loophole used by private equity and hedge fund managers. So, yeah. I mean, it's just like every single thing is taxed. And here's the thing, you know, I'm not as like libertarian as I used to be. Is there a place for some taxes for some things? Probably, yeah. You know, we have a military. We need to secure our border. You know, there should be some sort of assistance or help available to Americans, like actual Americans who are in need of it for short periods of time and things like that. But, you know, what we're seeing now is it's purely like retributive taxes. It's like they just don't like rich people. It's like the scapegoat of
I don't know that they don't like economy. Rich people. It just sells well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's how they're selling right. Their politics is. I mean, it's sort of like the only reason that people have to vote for Biden is that they don't like Trump. You know, they're doing the same thing with their economic policy. They just want to scapegoat people who are making more money than you. And when you look at it, you know, you get taxed on your income, you get taxed on now potentially your wealth, you get taxed on your assets, you get taxed on your property. When you die, you don't even get to pass your money down to your children without it getting taxed again. So it's and you look at that with the increased price of everything, with the increased price of housing and the high interest rates in the housing market. You look at the increased price of goods and services and food and cars and everything like that. You know, what's happening is people are getting priced out of the market, and more specifically, people are getting priced out of a certain standard of living. You know, my generation, a lot of people don't own homes anymore, and that trend is going to continue to grow. People are not going to own homes. They're going to rent forever. They're not going to own property, and that's kind of the by design, it seems like to me. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. You look back. I was talking to my wife about this the other day. You look back and, you know, you graduated high school and your friend got out of high school and got hired for a job at, you know, a pharmaceutical company or something like that, making $80,000 a year. And back in 2010, when I graduated from high school, I was like, wow, $80,000. That's crazy. Like, he's rich. He's going to be set for life. And now it's like $80,000. for a family, that's barely enough to scrape by. I mean, you got to be making a lot more than that, especially if you want to save up for, you know, retirement and buy a house and all things like that. So your money's just not going nearly as far, and it's being taxed more. So.
All right, well, let's talk about taxes, because, and you mentioned some really good things that we ought to be spending money on. I really think we ought to go back to the drawing board and say, this is what we think the federal government ought to do, this is how much it costs, and this is how we ought to tax it. That's not how it's done now. The tax code is 80,000 pages long. 80,000 pages long. And we don't have a tax issue or a revenue issue, we have a spending problem. If you look at the amount of revenue that is collected by the federal government, it is higher than the GDP of every country on planet Earth except China.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. We collect more tax revenue than the GDP of any other country on Earth other than China. And they're finding ways to spend it. And that debt clock just keeps going up and up and up. And we find out today that President Biden is going to be in Wisconsin passing out more funny money. He's out there doing more, what do they call it, debt relief or
student loan
yeah. forgiveness. Doesn't that sound so benign? Student loan forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's a transfer to somebody else. And you just pulled up the debt clock and you can see exactly what I'm talking about. Our debt increases at this rate by $1 trillion every 100 days.
Yeah.
When is enough enough? When does somebody start to say, hey, that's a problem?
Yeah, total national debt, $34.636 trillion. Debt per citizen, that includes babies and, you know, any age, is $102,000. Debt per taxpayer is $266,951.
Trust me, we have solutions on the way, or at least I have solutions. Kurt doesn't have to agree with me 100%, and he probably won't on some of them. But solutions are coming in the back end of today's podcast. President Trump, meanwhile, former President Trump, splitting his time between court appearances and campaign appearances and fighting the ever-dishonest media. He had a fundraiser over the weekend. Now, you know, Biden and the two presidents went to New York, right, and they raised $25 million. Do you see over the weekend Trump raised $50 million?
I did not see that.
$50 million. So a huge fundraiser for former President Trump. And he's got to fight the media. And we know this. And they did this with a straight face. And I will give credit to one of the people I saw on CNN over the weekend, one of their contributors, because Wolf Blitzer was trying to sell this clip as edited. You got the edited version, right?
Yeah, I've got both.
You got both. Okay. Actually, let's go to the clips. Them both.
This one, particular one, is from Pod Save America on Twitter, but it's the same clip.
Is this the unedited version?
This is the edited version.
Okay.
Yeah, first.
The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals. And Nancy Pelosi told me that. She said, please don't use the word animal, sir, when you're talking about these people. I said, I'll use the word animal because that's what they are. This is country changing, it's country threatening, and it's country wrecking. They have wrecked our country. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. Under the Trump administration, we had a tough policy of getting the bad people out. We wanted to get them out. We took them out by the thousands, and we took, as an example, the MS-13 gangs out.
Okay, so I want to watch that one more time, and I want to draw your attention to a couple things.
Yeah.
Right in the beginning here. And I'll leave it paused on this screen. If you're watching on video, they have the closed captions on the clip. And it says, the Democrats say, this is Trump's quote, the Democrats say, please don't call migrants animals. And they have migrants in the brackets. So if you took high school grammar or whatever, when you see the brackets, it's a subject to a sentence that is implied in the sentence because it's not actually in there. He didn't say, please don't call migrants animals. He's referencing something that is not in that sentence. But what they're doing with this clip is they're selectively editing the clip, and then they're implying something that is not actually implied by putting migrants in the bracket here. Because he's not talking about migrants. He's not talking about all migrants. He's talking about something very specific, but they deliberately put this word migrants in the bracket to make you think that he is referring to all migrants when he actually isn't. That's the trick of the editing here. And we'll watch it one more time.
The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals. Nancy Pelosi told me that. She said, please don't use the word animal, sir, when you're talking about these people. I said, I'll use the word animal because that's what they are.
That's the main yeah. part of the clip there.
And that's what they are. And he's talking about criminals who come across the border.
Well, here we can watch the, this is literally like, it's right before that. It's okay. It's like 3 seconds before they start that clip. This okay. is what he actually said.
A student in Georgia who was barbarically murdered by an illegal alien animal. The Democrats say, please don't call them animals. They're humans. I said, no, they're not humans. They're not humans. They're animals.
So that bracket that said migrants should have said illegal alien murderers, because that is the subject of the sentence directly before that. He said he's talking about the illegal alien murderers of Lake and Riley. And I'll let you go off because I have much to say about this. But
okay, so I mean, what I saw over the weekend was Wolf Blitzer on CNN basically taking the edited clip and trying to make Trump say something that he didn't say. And one of the people on that panel actually called Wolf Blitzer out and said, I've seen the entire clip and you're leaving out something very important. So that's what the media is trying to do to Trump, because Trump doesn't help himself sometimes. You know, he'll say things that are maybe a little bit out there, and with some selective editing, you can make it sound 100 times worse. And that's what MSNBC and CNN are doing.
Well, it's the same thing that they did. I mean, and people still believe this. People still believe that Trump called Nazis very fine people after Charlottesville, which is total bullshit.
Well, they still believe that, you know, and Richard, the guy that I went back and forth with, he's still one of those people that believes Donald Trump said drink bleach during
drink
COVID.
Drink bleach.
Never said it.
Nazis are very fine people. He called all Mexicans rapists and criminals, which he never did. And there's so many examples like this. And it's really low IQ, I think, is what it is, because people just are so blinded by their ideological allegiances that they don't want to look into it any further. They don't want to have the cognitive dissonance of being proven wrong by actually seeing the full clip. They just take the bait and they accept, you know, the what's fed to them and believe it, because it's uncomfortable for them to actually go back and watch Trump's full speech at Charlottesville, or about Charlottesville. I don't think it was actually there, but which is one of, in my opinion, one of his best speeches as president. It was a fantastic speech. He totally denounced, you know, the neo-Nazis and everything like that. In fact, in the same sentence, he said, there are fine people on both sides, and I'm not talking about white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and et cetera, et cetera. But they cut that out. Yeah. And it's the same thing here. It's clearly very deliberate.
Yeah. So the question I have, you know, do any Democrats really love Joe Biden? Are they voting for him, or are they voting against Trump? Can you find any Democrats anywhere that say, man, Joe is just doing a bang up job. I'm signing up for 4 more years because I just can't wait to see what the next act is.
Yeah.
Do you hear that on the Democrat side at all?
I don't hear it at all. I mean, I don't talk to a lot of my friends about politics anymore, but a few of them I do. And the ones that are more on the left that I've talked to, they certainly have said to me, you know, it's a lesser of two evils thing in their opinion. They don't like Joe Biden. They understand that he's old and senile and probably not with it at all. He's probably not in charge of anything. But Trump is mean and orange and racist and everything like that, so they have to vote for Biden.
Well, and one of my friends who's very liberal, I saw a post over the weekend talking about the great jobs number, and we just debunked that, because how many of those are part-time? How many of those are like Kurt, and it's 9 different jobs for one person in order to just stay afloat in Joe Biden's economy? So we could knock that down as well. And then if you're voting, and I know that most of the folks who listen to this podcast will not vote for Joe Biden, but you've got friends in your circle who will, please do remind them that Joe Biden is failing every day. We're going to get into some of that. In fact, I think I skipped over something here, which we'll go back to. They're voting for Kamala Harris. And before we're done with this particular episode, you know, we beat up on Kamala quite a bit, and she helps us out in that area. You won't want to miss what we call the kicker of today's podcast. Let's go back on Joe, because Joe visited the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Did you know, this is a fact in Joe Biden's mind, that he used to ride the train over that bridge when he was a senator commuting to Delaware?
I did see the clip, and I have the clip, which I will pull up. Just pulled up that picture real quick of him speaking.
Yeah.
And then here's the clip, because I was looking for the clip of his actual speech from the thing, but this was actually from the White House.
Yeah,
it was
a separate
deal. But here,
listen very carefully to what he says.
At about 1:30, container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware, either by train or by car.
Either by train or by car. Now, you know, the Francis Scott Key Bridge did not have train tracks. It was an automobile bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he says by train or by car. It's not necessarily clear that he was saying that he took a train over that bridge. Is it dumb? Yeah, but there's plenty of much stupider things that he says on a daily basis than that, in my opinion.
And if you go back to that clip, though, and he's in the Roosevelt room of the White House, look at him straining to read.
Oh, yeah.
And then he kind of goes off script when he says stuff like this, because people on his staff know that there's no train tracks over the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Right.
And so he's always making it about himself. And when he goes off script, that's when he gets in trouble. But watch it again and just look at how he's straining to read the teleprompter.
At about 1:30, container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware, either on a train or by car.
Yeah, that's the leader of the free world who wants 4 more years.
He was also getting in some hot water, apparently, when I was looking at this on Twitter last night. A lot of people pointing out he had to bring up his son, Bo, during the speech, and was kind of equivocating his son dying to the workers on the bridge dying. And again, is it that big of a deal to me? Not really, but he does like to bring up Bo whenever he can.
Last year I was at Arlington Cemetery, happened to be there on Memorial Day, and the president spoke, you know, to a big group of people, and I counted 3 times during that speech that he brought up Bo.
You were at the speech?
I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it got a smattering of applause. Speech did. I mean, you could hear the birds in the background at Arlington.
It's just because they were being respectful of the cemetery. I'm sure
that's it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's it. All right. Midwest GI Health. This is something that we can all agree on, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, and liberals, that colon cancer will kill you. I mean, we can all agree on that, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think we can. And Dr. Mark Terramina and Midwest GI Health and Wellness, they want to get you in for your colonoscopy. The old age used to be 50. Now it's 45. What does that tell you about the prevalence of cancers like colon cancer? We got to catch it early. Catching it early will save your life. I mean, of everything that you hear or see on our podcast, this may be the most important thing. Schedule that colonoscopy. It can do the upper GI, too, if you're having trouble there. The entire digestive tract, that is Mark Terramina's playground, if you will, and he can get it done for you. Got a great staff there in Lee's Summit, and they're ready to help you. 4.9 out of 5 stars, highest Google rating in Kansas City. Put them on your team and get that colonoscopy and rule it out, and then you won't have to do it again for like 10 years. They're in Lee's Summit, Missouri. You can reach them at 816-836-2200, 816-836-2200. One of our other fine sponsors on the podcast is Funhouse Pizza, Jim Dingman's crew, both in Blue Springs and in Lee's Summit. 7 Highway in Blue Springs, 50 Highway in Lee's Summit. And something very important to him, of course, was his late wife, Audrey. Audrey's birthday is coming up, and they've got a fundraiser going for Shep's Place in her honor. Shep's Place is a senior dog sanctuary. Everybody loves a new puppy. We got a new puppy at our house.
Mm-hmm.
We love him. Baby Harry is always going to be a puppy in my mind. He's coming up on 2 years old. What we're getting into trouble on this is older dogs. Much like older kids in the adoption process, not many people want an older dog.
Right.
So that's where Shep's Place comes in. They take care of these animals that don't have homes. They'd love to get them adopted. And so what Jim Dingman and his crew at the Funhouse Pizza and Lee's Summit is doing, the staff there donating half of their tips through April 17th, and Funhouse Pizza is going to match that amount. I made my own contribution and put it up on my personal Facebook page. We ask you to join in as well for Audrey, remembering her, and donating to Shep's Place.
Yeah, the website is shepsplace.org, shepsplace.org. And you can also sign up to volunteer. You can adopt and you can donate directly on that website as well.
Good folks. Yeah, and we appreciate Jim Dingman being part of Dale Carter's America. Latest on the Royals and Chiefs saga. I don't know if you saw this or not, but John Sherman's wife, Marnie. Marnie. Is that short for something? You know, like Marnicle or
Marnicle.
Marnaby or Marnarella? I mean, is it just Marnie?
You know, if you've been watching this show, you know how shallow I am, and things like
you are really shallow.
Things like the shape of Rachel Maddow's head or Joy Reid's hair,
yeah,
or somebody's name, I just can't get over. So yeah,
well, and you can almost picture Marnie Sherman saying this.
I'm sure she's a lovely lady. You know, I would not say anything against her. I've never met her. Yeah. I'm sure she's very, very lovely.
So she came out after the vote went against, you know, the Chiefs and the Royals as far as the Jackson County tax and taking what we voted on as a temporary measure to update Arrowhead and Kauffman Stadium. They wanted to stretch it out for the next 40 years, move the stadium to the crossroads, I don't know, build a nice hotel, conference center on the back of the taxpayers. Well, Marnie, she says, you know, that's I don't know that I've heard her voice, but that's what it sounds like in my head. You know, you rubes in Jackson County, you'll be lucky if these teams stay in the area.
This allegedly, you know, that's allegedly what she sounds like. We're huge Marnie fans here. We love Marnie. We're huge Marnie supporters on the podcast.
We're done with Jackson County. We don't even want to talk to you people anymore. You wouldn't give us $1 billion? Screw you! Is that what a Marnie might sound like?
Maybe. It's possible.
I don't know.
But yeah, no, it was comments on Facebook posts, apparently. So
yeah,
which I guess have been taken down. This link here doesn't work anymore, so I'm sure she
so they walked that back down. Is that what you're saying? They walked that back? Said,
unfortunately, neither team will work with Jackson County again. The lack of leadership has lost the city two treasured assets. I mean, if you don't support the Chiefs after three Super Bowl wins, why would they stay? We'll be lucky if both teams wind up in Kansas. At least it's still in the area.
It's funnier the way I said it.
It is funnier the way you said it, yeah. Right.
Mayor Lucas, meanwhile, says don't believe the noise, claims the teams will be here through 2040 and beyond. He actually met with John Sherman last week. I'm sure Marnie wasn't there, but John Sherman was there. There are proposals out there. They were working with Clay County before all this came down. And North Kansas City might well be an option for the Royals. Maybe there's separate questions involved here. Maybe there's a question A for, you know, helping to move the Royals to a new stadium, and question B, updating Arrowhead Stadium at the Truman Sports Complex for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways to skin this. It failed on this vote. That does not mean it's the end of the world as we know it.
Exactly. And people are very quick to rush to judgment on the fate of both of these teams. And there's plenty of time. There's plenty more opportunities for more votes. You know, I can't think of a single time, especially in politics, where everything moves at a turtle's pace, where, you know, one vote on a tax or something like that, you know, fails, and all of a sudden everything's, you know, screwed. And, you know, it's like, all right, people, let's calm down. But here's Mayor Lucas's tweet, in case you're just listening to this on audio. He says, don't believe the noise. We are committed to retention of our teams with vastly lower expenses. Think needed infrastructure build out. Then even an intra-metro move. Both teams will be in KCMO in 2040 and long after.
Yeah, so he's very optimistic about that. And, you know, even if they move to the Kansas side, you know, first of all, they'll be dead to my wife. I mean, that'll be the end for her. And there are some people like that. She's like, they'll be dead to me. If they move to Kansas, they're dead to me. She almost sounds like Marnie when she gets going on that. So they would still be the Kansas City Chiefs. They would still be the Kansas City Royals. And I point to things like the Jets and Giants. They both play in New Jersey.
Don't they play at the same stadium?
They do. They share the same stadium in New Jersey. And they're still called the New York Giants and the New York Jets.
Right.
The Dallas Cowboys do not play in the city of Dallas.
Right.
There are a lot of examples. The Buffalo Bills don't play in the city of Buffalo. They play in Orchard Park.
Right.
So if the Chiefs ended up playing in Overland Park, they would still be the Kansas City Chiefs. But there's silly season stuff going on here. The mayor of Dallas, mayors sometimes, they get over their skis. Remember the guy in Cincinnati, you know, that Travis Kelce called a jabroni? Because he was calling Arrowhead Stadium Burrowhead or some damn thing like that.
Yeah, how did that turn out?
Yeah. So the Dallas mayor says, you know, the Chiefs are originally from Dallas. Why not come home?
So the team, by that he means that the team started in Dallas?
They did. They were the Dallas Texans.
I was wondering what that meant. So This is the tweet from the mayor. I don't have the actual tweet, but this is just a repost. Our market is big enough, growing enough, and loves football more than enough to support a second NFL team, especially a franchise and owner with deep roots here,
yeah,
is what he said. Well, I wasn't sure what deep roots meant, but yeah, I guess that makes sense.
And, you know, Long Island is trying to get the Chiefs, too, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I didn't find anything on that. But
that's it's silly season right now because it's not going to happen. First of all, it's like you said, it's not one vote and then the end of the world as we know it. Let's say that everybody's talking about Nashville for the Royals, okay? Think about how unrealistic that is. The city of Nashville just put up money to build a new stadium for the Titans.
Yeah.
Do you think they've got an appetite to build a new ballpark for the Kansas City Royals? And then on top of that, there's a minor league baseball team in Nashville that the Royals would have to pay to move.
Yeah.
Got to get them out of there. And then you've got to get the approval of the other owners. How likely is that? Think about what Oakland finally went through to get out of there, to get to Vegas. And you want to talk about a dump. The Oakland Alameda Coliseum, that is dump with a capital D.
Yeah.
It's so bad that while they're building the new stadium in Las Vegas, the A's are going to play at a minor league ballpark in Sacramento. They're not even going to put the word Oakland on their uniforms. It's going to be A's or Athletics. They're not going to be Oakland anymore. That's how bad that situation is.
And even that is taking many, many years to implement.
Decades.
You know? Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure that they've been in talks, in negotiations about that, about the team moving to Nashville, to Vegas for a long time. And just now, you know, it's actually starting to be implemented. And then even the implementation part is taking several years. So it's not, you know, everyone needs to calm down. It's not going to happen overnight.
I'm just wondering what it would be like. I'd love to be a fly on the wall if my wife had a beer with Marnie Sherman.
Yeah.
You know, he'll be lucky if they move to Kansas. Well, if they move to Kansas, they're dead to me. It would be worth it.
Maybe Marnie should be like an adjective. You know, it's like a description of when you're being extra pissy and your voice starts to sound like that. It's like, stop being Marnie.
Let's hope my wife never hears any part of this episode. Can we bury it like a cat turd? If you're thinking about moving, whether it's the team or just yourself, you might want to get Michael Schorer on speed dial. In fact, I would highly recommend it. He's a lifelong Kansas City resident with 35 years of residential and commercial construction experience. He's got the knowledge you need to find the just right home for your needs. Looking for your first home, your forever home, land to build your dream home on, something in between, he would love to help you out. And he thinks just the way we do. So if you want somebody who thinks the way we do, and why would you be listening otherwise or watching otherwise? Michael Schorer is the guy you want. We got to get him in here. We've talked about this. We're going to get him in real soon to talk about the state of real estate in the Kansas City metro area and nationwide, really, with everything that's going on. If you're ready to move, thinking about it, want to put your house on the market, call Michael today at 816-783-5800. He's on the web at michaelschroer.com, and I'll spell the last name for you. Michael's pretty easy, but Schroer is S-C-H-R-O-E-R.com. He's a Remax Heritage real estate professional. Good guy.
And there's his name right there in case you missed it.
Yeah. So, you know, you had like a bumper that we haven't used in a while. Dale is king for a day. Do you got that one? You want to fire that up here?
I sure do.
All right. Let's roll it. So,
haven't played that in a while.
I know we haven't, but not really king for a day. I want to look at it like I'm president for a day because there's
less fun.
Yeah, I know it's less fun, but we got the bumper out there. Because president is what, you know, Joe Biden and Donald Trump are going for. And with our government, you got to get some buy-in from the House and the Senate. And there may be some things that come up for the Supreme Court. So, you know, that tripart government that we have that has worked so well, has served us so well since the birth of this country, can still be used. Can still be used. We complain a lot about Joey B, did so earlier in the segment, but I want to change it up here. I want to talk about solutions and how we tackle the biggest issues that we have here. I came up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and Kurt, you may have more that you want to add to this.
It's your presidency, man.
It is my presidency. And we're going to start with the southern border. Because let's face it, we're being naive if we don't understand what's going on at the southern border. The next census is coming up in 6 years. The way we count people in this country is not citizens. It's people who live in the various states. Did you know that?
Yes.
We're not counting citizens.
Right.
We're counting bodies.
Right.
And the long-term plan for the Democrat Party is to take some red states and turn them purple and ultimately turn them blue. Make no mistake about that. That's why in the 2020 campaign, Joe Biden asked people to come on across. He did it in a debate, right? And he's like, oh, come on. We want you to come on in. And they did. And they wore the Trump Biden t-shirts. Remember that at the border?
Biden Harris t-shirts, yeah. Excuse
they
my
are name. Still coming across the border. So what do we do about the border?
I will build a great, great wall.
That's what Donald Trump would do. I would, on day one, tear up all of the executive orders relative to the border and get that thing secured. And I think Trump will do that too. Tear up those orders, get that border secure. Now, what the people on the left will tell you is, there's a bipartisan bill out there. Why won't people jump on board? Because Donald Trump is telling them not to jump on board. Mean-ass Republicans. That's not true either. If you look into the guts of that bill is horrible. That bill allows 5,000 people a day to come across that border. 5,000 a day. That used to be a crisis in this country. What happened to Democrats like Bill Clinton and Barack Obama who talked about having a strong border? When did that go out the window?
Probably around 2015, 2016.
We got to have a strong border. There's just no turning back from that. Do we need some immigration reform? We certainly do, probably, because we do need people to come in here and do some jobs that other people don't want to do. But we need to be selective about the people that we want to come into this country. We definitely need reasonable immigration. What we don't need is a flood coming across the southern border. So Dale is president, and I think Trump would do this as well. We'll tear up all of those executive orders, put Remain in Mexico back in place, get with Texas, partner with Texas. Texas wants to arrest illegals coming across the border. Gee, that sounds like a sane policy. I would tell the border agents to work with Governor Abbott and the state of Texas in order to get that done. So that's where I'm at on the border. Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Crime. We talked about criminal justice being turned on its head. Now it's justice for the criminals. I would go the other way on that. And this is something that is not necessarily a presidential thing, because crime is more or less a local issue, right? Unless you're talking about kidnapping, bank robbery, things where the FBI would get involved. It's a local issue. But from the bully pulpit of the presidency of the United States, you can get out there, you can get on these people. And you can fire up your base. That's one of the beauties of the American presidency. And I think Trump actually used it pretty well. The bully pulpit to basically get his message out, even in areas that he didn't control. We've got to spread the word that crime is a problem, especially in our urban areas. And the soft-on-crime prosecutors, that's got to end. We got to back our police. We've got to put criminals in jail. It's tough to do that from the presidency, but you can certainly make a case for it.
Yeah, I agree with the bully pulpit thing. You know, there's limited things that you can do policy-wise. You can do certain things with executive orders, but, you know, maybe it should be less for sure. But you need Congress for a lot of things, or things are determined by local governments. But the president sort of sets the tone for the country. The president is the policy leader, even if he's not making some of the policy. You know, he sets the tone, and he is very popular or unpopular. He's on TV all the time, so he can really set the tone for the priorities of the country.
And what Congress can do, to your point, is tougher federal legislation mm-hmm. on federal crimes. Lead the way. Be right. A leader, not a follower. So crime is a big issue, and we need somebody out there talking about it. Abortion is the next.
I am officially running for president of the United States.
Wrong.
Oh, was that the wrong clip?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, blame it on the eclipse, because yeah. The eclipse is happening a little bit later this morning. Abortion is the next big thing, and for a long time, there was this weird thing with Roe versus Wade. It wasn't really constitutional, but the Supreme Court went that way, and it was in this nether region, if you will, between, you know, there were still forces tugging at it both ways. There were the pro-life crowd saying, we don't want any abortions, and there were the right to life people pulling it this way and the abortion crowd pulling it this way, and nobody was really happy. So what's happened since is that Roe versus Wade has been overturned by the Supreme Court, and now it's moved its way back to the states. And Donald Trump initially was talking about a 15, 16-week ban with exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother. He's now walked that back. Did you see that?
No.
He wants to leave that with the state governments. And really, in a purely... Now, let's take the emotion out of this and take the temperature down a little bit. From a purely constitutional point of view, this is a state issue. You know, Robert Dole used to walk around with the 10th Amendment in his coat pocket, and he was a big believer in the things that are not expressly set out for the federal government are remanded to the states. And that's where Donald Trump is on this now. He's saying this is a state issue. Work it out in the states. How's that working out? I don't know if you've seen the stats on this, but since Roe versus Wade was overturned, abortions are way up. So whatever's happening is not working. So this is just me. This is what I would do. I would encourage Congress to, and it may not be constitutional. It may not pass, you know, it may be taken to the Supreme Court and ruled unconstitutional. But I would follow the lead of every other industrialized nation out there and say, let's come up with a reasonable number that we can live with. Nobody likes it. A reasonable number that we can live with, and let's move this thing forward. Because if Republicans don't find a way to shelve this issue, and there's two different things going on here. There's a policy thing that would require legislation, and there's the bully pulpit, which we just talked about. So from a policy legislative point of view, we got to move this thing off. And if 80% of the country can agree that 15, 16 weeks is the right number, if you're going to do this, with exceptions for rape, incest, and the life of the mother, maybe that's the way that we ought to go. And then as president from the bully pulpit, instead of beating the hell out of people who are going to do this, maybe you encourage them to find alternatives. All right? Encourage them to, when this happens in your family, let's find other alternatives that may exist out there. There's adoption. You know, you talk about puppies. A lot of folks want to adopt babies. Go that route. Try and make it rare, safe, and legal. That was the calling card of Democrats for a long time. And then they got off the rails, and it was like anything goes all the way to 9 months and even beyond. Some of them are saying that. You know, Northam said it. Mm-hmm. You know, make them comfortable. Then you can decide what you want to do. I mean, that's not rational. Most Democrats wouldn't agree with that. Certainly Republicans wouldn't agree with it. So we've got to find that ground that we can all agree on, because what's going to happen if we don't? If the Democrats continue to use this thing as a whipping post and get women fired up to vote against Republicans on this issue, we're not going to win another significant election, and none of these other issues matter. That's my opinion.
Okay.
How are you doing over there? You fuming away?
No, I mean, we disagree, but...
Yeah, all right.
I was trolling you a little bit there while you were talking about it, because I pulled up the preamble to the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yep.
That's why it should not be a state issue. It should be a federal issue, in my opinion.
Okay, well, then let's get it done at the federal level. And maybe that would, of course, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution are two different things.
Right, but the Declaration of Independence is the founding document of this country. The Constitution spells it out, but the Constitution is expanding on the Declaration of Independence. And the preamble to the Declaration of Independence is the first document that establishes this country. And the right to life is included in the very first sentences of that document.
Okay, I get all that. But you can't convince people. I mean, you cannot legislate them into doing something that they're going to do anyway. Again, I point out that Roe versus Wade overturned, abortions are up.
Right, but... I mean, you don't seem to apply that logic to anything else. Like, if you apply that logic to crime, for example, if you're like, well, we can't make murder illegal because people are going to do it anyway, so why should we even bother? You know, that we don't say that.
So do you want to put moms and doctors in jail?
I think doctors probably, yeah. Moms, I don't know. That's pretty difficult.
Why not?
Why not? Difficult situation.
Why not? They're complicit in the crime, as you call it.
They are. Yeah.
Doctors going to jail in Kurtzville.
The doctors are the ones that are actually doing it, and the doctors, you know, the creed of the medical industry is do no harm, you know, first and foremost, and that is the literal opposite of that.
Well, so when
should
you run,
they be punished for killing unborn babies?
Yeah, when you run for office, you jam this thing through as best you can and see if you ever win an election again. And if anything else,
I think you overestimate or underestimate the popularity of the pro-life movement, honestly. Okay. But again, I don't want to get fully into it. This is your presidency, not mine. So.
When you run, you can do what you want to do. National security and foreign policy. That's another big, big issue and an area where Joe Biden has abjectly failed. When you look at the big wide world that we live in, you have to look no further than Ronald Reagan for my blueprint if I were president. Peace through strength. You fuck with the United States, it's going to be a really bad day for you. And we don't have that right now. In fact, we're working with the enemy. Just like Barack Obama did, Joe Biden went right back to the Iranians, right? Mm-hmm. The Iranians. Got to say it right. You know, we're going to entice you to not make a nuclear bomb by being your buddy. How's that worked out for us? We've emboldened the Iranians. The Iranians are behind Hamas. Draw the line there. Into 6 months ago when Hamas attacked Israel, all because you could trace it right back to Joe Biden and his weakness in foreign policy. In fact, we're as weak in foreign policy as we were under Jimmy Carter. And Ronald Reagan came in and said, we're going to have peace through strength. He brought the Soviets to the table. In fact, you could draw a direct line to the Soviet collapse to Ronald Reagan. So a strong president with national security and foreign policy is something that we need in the White House, and we don't have right now. Got to be strong. Energy. We were energy independent before this president. He came in with, we're going to change the world. We're going to, because of global warming and climate change and all of that, we're going to lead the world. We're going to cripple our own economy, and we're going to go with solar and wind. How's that work out during an eclipse, by the way? Does that just, like, ruin the solar grid for, like,
I don't know.
4 hours?
I don't know how that works.
Got to think about that. What do you do on a cloudy day? What do you do on a windless day? As president, I would have an all-in energy policy. There are rational Democrats out there who agree with that. Harold Ford Jr. is one of them. The guy from West Virginia. What's his name? Just left the Senate.
Manchin.
Joe Manchin. He believes in that. Of course, he comes from a coal state. All in energy policy. All right. Let's use everything that we have. Let's use the natural gas, the ocean of which that we are built on top of. Let's drill for oil. Let's do everything that we can in order to stabilize the energy market. It can be done. And then I would take federal dollars. Here's where I'd spend some money, federal dollars to scientists, and let's find a better way moving forward. Let's don't jam a round peg into a square hole. Let's find that next thing. Maybe it's a fuel cell. Maybe it's advances in nuclear power. There are options out there. I'm not saying we got to be, you know, oil dependent forever and ever. I don't think we will be oil dependent forever and ever. But let's stop coming up with something that doesn't exist and saying you will do this. And if you don't do this, you know, bad consequences are going to come your way. It's just like what happened with the Chiefs and Royals. They held this carrot out there. Nobody bought into it. And so they're coming on the back end and saying, these are mandates. You will do this. You will have to do this, or there will be consequences. That's complete bullshit. We need to have an all-in energy policy and fund science to find the smart way forward. And I don't even know what that is because I'm not a scientist, but I would take some federal money and put it behind it.
Sure.
You with me on that?
Yeah.
All right, good. So far, we only disagree on one thing.
Well, I mean, I think that's one of our bigger disagreements. Yeah. So we tend to.
But I got to throw it
steer
in
into a little.
I got to throw it in there because yeah, I think yeah. it's a big issue, especially with women, especially with Democrat women. So it's, you know, you either want to have 80% of the country behind you or you don't. That's where I come from on that. The debt and the deficit, these are two different things. Let's deal with the debt first. We talked about it earlier in the podcast. We are literally adding $1 trillion to the debt every 100 days. We're like the Titanic, man. We're sinking.
Yeah.
We're sinking fast. And where is the number that you start to get concerned about, right? Because the deficit adds to the debt. It's like a downward spiral. And you don't want to have a downward spiral in business. You definitely don't want to have a downward spiral in life. And we're downwardly spiraling, if you think about
this. Yeah, the number that, you know, you asked what number we would hit before we start being concerned about it. And we've been talking about it for a long time, you know, in public life and the media. And the number was $10 trillion, and then we blew past that. Then the number was $15 trillion. We blew past that. Then the number was $20 trillion when Obama was president and Trump was president. We blew past that. Then we had all this COVID spending and everything, and boom, now we're at $34 trillion. So what's the new number?
I don't know. But with interest rates as high as they are right now, the interest on the debt alone is at some point in the near future going to be higher than what we spend on the military. That's wrong. And yeah. You've got people like me who are looking to retire here at some point, and you've got Medicare, and you've got Social Security hanging out there. By the way, I don't look at Social Security as Social Security is something I paid into, right? That's not an entitlement. I paid into it. I want my money back. You forced me to pay into this. I could have taken that money, put it in the stock market, and probably been, you know, a multimillionaire by now. But you forced me into this, you know, a pyramid scheme that the federal government has. So I want my damn money back out of it. Mm-hmm. So don't call that an entitlement. That's something I paid for. But that's going to be a problem because I'm the tail end of the baby boom generation. That's going to be a big number. And fewer people are coming behind to work. So that's going to be a problem. So what are we going to do about this? And honestly, I don't know that Trump has a plan for this.
He doesn't.
Biden certainly doesn't. Biden thinks, hey, this is going great, man. 4 more years, we could probably be at $60 trillion. Maybe we should shoot for a high number, like $100 trillion. Would that matter? Does it matter at that point?
It's sort of become the third rail of political discourse, and Social Security certainly falls into that category as well. But spending in general, even Republican presidents and Republican politicians don't want to talk about it because it's not popular and it's not going to get them reelected. And Trump certainly falls into that category. He's like, no, we're not touching Social Security. Well, it doesn't matter whether you want to or not. I mean, it's insolvent. It's financially insolvent. So something is going to have to happen. It's either going to go bankrupt on its own, or we're going to make adjustments to try and save it down the line for future generations, myself, my kids, my grandkids.
Yeah.
But we're just not willing to have the conversation because in order to do that, politicians have to be honest about, listen, you know, cuts are going to have to be made. There's going to have to be cuts to some entitlements because we can't make all the cuts from the military. We can't make all the cuts from foreign aid, although we should certainly do that too. You know, we got to make cuts across the board, and that's not a conversation that anyone wants to have in political discourse because it's not popular and it's not going to get them reelected.
Well, I guess I'm not a very good politician because I do tell the truth. It probably cost me my reelection in 2019 and may have cost me the mayor's race in 2020 in Blue Springs because I told the truth. And some people don't want to hear that. You know, the FOP, believe it or not, with my background as the son of a cop and all the things I've done for the cops, they didn't endorse me in 2020 because I told the truth. They wanted this new retirement plan, and the guy who ran against me said, no problem, I'll take care of it, no problem. And I said, I want to get there. Let's see where the budget falls. I'm not going to sit here and promise you that I can do that. So I'm a different kind of person, and it's probably why I'm a retired politician. But what I think, and what I told Chris Matthews once when I had him on my show, which he just completely blew off, I think we're to a point where we need to reboot the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it, if you look at our government right now, it looks like the old stereo. It actually looks like some of the wiring we have in here. You can't follow the damn wire to where it goes. Mm-hmm. It's so convoluted. We just need to reboot the thing, figure out what are our priorities. Okay, our priorities are national defense, right? Social Security, because that's a promise that we've made. Medicare, probably something else that we ought to consider. And maybe nothing else. Maybe we ought to take a look at all this and see what the hell we're spending all this money on, reboot the thing, and then figure out how we want to pay for it instead of going around like politicians do and saying, you know what? The millionaires are going to pay their fair share. That gets you a big, you know, cheer in a crowd. And then all of a sudden, you realize rich people are rich people for a reason because they're pretty smart. And a lot of them own businesses. And guess what they do? They pass those costs on to consumers. So you end up hurting the people at the very bottom who you say that you're out there to protect. So that's why I think that what we need in this country is a complete reboot. I don't think Trump's going to do that. I know Biden's not going to do it, but it's what I would do. The final thing on my list is wokeness. We've got to do something about that. We are killing ourselves. We're like somebody, you know, who gets stabbed in the neck and drowns in their own blood. We are drowning in our own blood because we've got to get our pronouns right. Right? I'm going to be the guy who says, and I'm going to follow along with the Harry Potter author. I'm going to call women women and men men, and if you don't like it, to hell with you. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't you? I mean, wokeness and the transgender activist movement, it's killing this country. It's tearing us apart.
Yeah, and it's deliberate, too. I mean, obviously, there are a lot of dumb people that, you know, subscribe to this, but I think the people that are really pushing the narratives in the media and in government, they know what they're doing. They're trying to tear down the American culture. They're trying to tear down our system, our traditional system of government. They're trying to tear down what makes America America so that they can replace it with something else.
You know, and the last thing that I would say as president, which I know I will never be because of my candor, instead of doing what Biden did for his cabinet, a cabinet that looks like America and making sure I check every box on the bingo card, I would use John F. Kennedy's way of thinking. I'd want the best and the brightest around me. I might even go to Lincoln's cabinet of rivals and bring in people who don't agree with me just so that I can get, you know, some other opinions going in the room. What we've done under Joe Biden is, you know, we've got a transportation secretary whose only qualification is he's a gay man.
Right.
That's his only qualification. You've got a vice president one heartbeat away whose only qualification is she's a black female. You've got a Supreme Court justice that he put up. Her only qualification, other than her legal credentials, was that she was a black female.
Right.
So that would end under me. It would be a merit-based thing. And, you know, if I could find people, you know, of different backgrounds and all that, that were the best in their field, I think America deserves the best in the field. Not necessarily just somebody who's picked because of what they've got between their legs or don't have between their legs or, you know.
Or what, chopped off between their legs.
Or chopped off between their legs.
Added between their legs.
Or what color they are, you know. We'd get to, in my presidency, we'd get to the words of Martin Luther King Jr., where you would be judged by the content of your character and not the color of your skin. So, would I get elected? Probably not.
I'd vote for you, Dale.
Yeah, you would. Better vote for me. And anybody else who's listening or watching the podcast, if there are issues that you think I haven't considered that I should, that we ought to be talking about solutions for, rather than always complaining and bitching about things, please reach out.
If you made it this far in the episode on YouTube, comment below. Leave a comment.
You think people are bailing?
Well, I mean, that's just statistically, you know, people don't watch entire videos on YouTube. Fine. So if
they're going to miss the kicker. The kicker's funny.
I know. You've got to watch all the way through.
All right. Bob Watson, Blue Springs State Farm agent for 5 decades. He's one of our proud sponsors here on the podcast. 7th and Main in Blue Springs. Make sure that you circle the date May 1st on your calendar. I can't be there. I'm going to be in Florida that week. But Bob will be there with a big food truck and a party going on to celebrate his 50th anniversary as a State Farm agent. And he's ready to take you on. I don't think Bob's slowing down anytime soon. 816-229-7878. That's 816-229-7878. Bundle your home and car insurance and save even more. He'll take care of you on both sides of state line, regardless of where the Chiefs and Royals end up. He's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. Check it out. Bob Watson, State Farm Agent. Okay. Vice President Harris, she's always saying fun stuff that we like to get on the podcast with. Sometimes if you're stupid, you should probably just keep your mouth shut, just so that nobody really knows.
Then open and remove all doubt.
Exactly. There's an old quote about that, which is very true. So she's talking to somebody in an interview, and she comes up with this incredible claim about the NCAA women's tournament.
Do you know, okay, a bit of a history lesson. Do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022? Think about that, and what that, talk about progress, you know, better late than never, but progress, and what that has done, because of course when, you know, I had a bracket, it's not broken completely, but I won't talk about my bracket. But you know what, just how we love March Madness, and even just now allowing the women to have brackets and what that does to encourage people to talk more about the women's teams, to watch them. Now they're being covered, you know, and this is the reality. People used to say, women's sports, who's interested?
Okay, well, so
people used to say, women's sports, who's interested?
Yeah.
Because nobody says that anymore.
So she claims that the
loves women's sports.
NCAA women's bracket, you know, which, by the way, South Carolina finishing a perfect season, beating Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa got there 2 years in a row. Caitlin Clark, the most prolific scorer in the history of Division I basketball. I mean, she's going to the WNBA. So the claim that the women's bracket only came about in 2022, I wonder if they're trying to take credit for that the Biden administration got them to do that. Maybe. I don't know. But
which is not true, by the way.
Here's the
bracket thing.
The truth on the bracket is the women's bracket has been around since 1982.
Ah.
1982. Now, in 2022, they were able to use the term March Madness for the women's bracket, but the women's bracket has been around since 1982. And the funny part about all of this was, and I don't know if you found this or not, but there are examples of brackets that Kamala Harris filled out in 2021.
Oh, yeah. Is this her bracket? I can't tell from the thing, but this is a bracket.
2021, Kamala Harris filled out a bracket. So
I can't tell whose bracket it is, but
not only is
somebody's
she
bracket
wrong, there's her bracket.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, you know what? We are huge supporters of women's athletics on this podcast. We just love it. You know, we fully support women's athletics and women's sports. We're huge supporters.
We just don't like it when men claim to be women and play on the women's team. I don't know how anybody who supports women's rights could ever be for that. And again, I point out to you something I pointed out earlier in the podcast, that woman, Kamala Harris, is one heartbeat away from the presidency. At least Joe Biden has an excuse. He's mentally failing. She's young, but dumb. And with that, we'll leave you until next week. This is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.